And so the Copenhagen Conference begins.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. World leaders are beginning to converge on Copenhagen, Denmark today, where the UN's two-week conference on climate change gets underway. KQED reporter Rob Schmitz is there, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
What are officials realistically hoping to accomplish there at Copenhagen?
Basically, it boils down to this. Poor countries want developed countries to provide them with cash and technology so that they can develop a clean energy infrastructure for themselves. Developed countries, meanwhile, are trying to figure out how they're going to pay for this and how they're going to divvy up the bill.
What struck you so far in your time in Copenhagen?
Well, it's interesting. This city is really dressed up for this conference. I mean, every ad you see from Coca-Cola, they say these ads that say Copenhagen instead of Copenhagen, to, ads from Greenpeace to anything. It's a big advertisement for global warming. It's really interesting. They kind of outdo their own Christmas decorations for this.
What should we be looking for today on this first day of the conference?
Well, I think everyone is trying to set the stage here, and you're seeing delegates trying to be optimistic about what can be achieved here, because there has been so much pessimism surrounding this conference. So, I mean, we're seeing a lot of folks being very optimistic. President Barack Obama changed his schedule to come here later in the conference. A lot of people are holding out hope that perhaps there will be a deal signed late in the game next week.
Reporter Rob Schmitz in Copenhagen. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
And let's check world stock markets. Markets are mixed this morning in both Europe and Asia. In Japan, a weakening yen has lifted stocks to a six-week high. Gold prices fell again. That better-than-expected U.S. unemployment report on Friday, taking the shine off some of those safe haven investments. On Friday on Wall Street, the Dow added 22 points and closed at 10,388. Some welcome news for the American taxpayer this morning. Reports indicate the government's big financial bailout program won't be as costly as we thought. One reason? Financial companies may be doing a bit better. Let's get more from Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite, joining us live from New York. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Bill.
Is the government surprised at this?
Well, probably. I mean, considering what they said just a few months ago, I mean, so far, the Treasury Department has lent $370 billion in bailout money to companies that got in trouble during the crisis. And reports say it now expects to get back most of that, and it'll actually earn a profit on some of that money. And that's quite a change from some pretty depressing predictions the administration made back in the summer. They thought the bailout program could lose about $341 billion. Because they thought at the time that there could be many more losses in the financial world and they might have to extend even more of a helping hand.
Right. So what happened at the interim? Why are they now expecting to get repaid?
Well, basically, banks are repaying government funds a lot faster than the government expected. I mean, huge financial institutions like JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, they've all repaid their bailout funds. And then Bank of America, of course, just announced it's planning on paying back its $45 billion chunk of money as soon as that week. So that this week. So that just leaves Citibank waiting in the wings. And they've got a lot of motivation because they really want to get out from under the government's thumb, mainly because any bank that has a lot of government money has to play by the government's rules, especially when it comes to executive compensation. And they'd really rather not do that. So the sooner they can pay that money back and reclaim their independent status, the better.
Thank you for telling us about it. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite. They're live. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
The leisure travel industry will keep tightening up into next year, according to a Florida travel research firm called Y Partnership. Based on its surveys, the company says about half of households are planning some kind of leisure trip in the next 6 months. That's even fewer than last year, and the number one reason, of course, is the household budget. And leisure is the subject of this morning's Marketplace Globalist Quiz with our quizmaster, Stefan Richter of theglobalist.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Are you ready for today's globalist quiz?
Yes, I am.
So here's my question. It concerns the gender gap. Is it true that men in the developed world have more leisure time than women, or is that false?
Well, I'm always hearing that women are taking on more responsibility. I'm going to guess it's true. Men have more leisure time.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay. And how about in the United States? How does leisure time differ between women and men?
You know, it's interesting. The OECD did measurements for all rich countries, and what they found is that each day, American men, on average, have an extra 38 minutes of leisure time compared to women in the United States.
38 minutes per day?
Per day. And that doesn't sound like a lot, you know, a minute here, a minute there, but over the course of the year, it adds up to 13,870 minutes, almost 10 days, that men have extra time off compared to the chores that women run through in a given day.
So I was right on this question, and my wife is right in general, as usual. And do Americans have much more leisure time than the rest of the world?
No, they are outdone. In fact, by, wouldn't you know it, the Italians. They are the kings in terms of taking time off. Italian men have an average of almost 80 minutes more leisure time each day than Italian women do. And that's double the U.S. level. So if you want to move to Italy, take your time off.
Stefan Richter, publisher and editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com, the daily online magazine on the global economy, politics, and culture. Thanks.
Good to be with you.
And finally, the global recession may cost us a close encounter. Britain's Ministry of Defense has shut down its UFO investigation unit after more than 50 years of service, saying it can no longer justify the cost. Despite thousands of sightings reported by the public, the ministry says it's found no proof of the existence of extraterrestrials. There was a dedicated UFO officer dealing with those sightings. That person has just lost an awesome job. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.